Well, first of all, I want to say welcome. Thanks for participating. We're just going to jump right in because, and we're not going to be able to cover, I can tell you already, everything that's in the outline for tonight. That's okay. We'll pick up whatever we don't finish tonight the next time we meet. But a couple things I just want to lay out for you guys. This is the first time we've ever done a class like this, involving music and especially involving practical music instruction for your own use at home. And so this class is going to be a learning experience for all of us. And I say that up front just to ask for your patience and your flexibility as we try to figure out how this is going to work and having this many people doing guitar. I think we have one or two that are interested in piano. We don't have piano tonight, so Hannah, I'm sorry, but you can learn to play the guitar. So we'll have, I think next time we will have some keyboard. So it might be crazy tonight when we try to actually do the guitar lab, but that's okay. We'll get better each week. And I'm grateful for this many people, but I'm actually shocked that we were. I was expecting maybe five or six, and so this is wonderful. I think it'd also be helpful for you to know that I'm no expert in this topic. I don't consider myself to be a true musician, and in fact, music is not even particularly a passion of mine. So that might surprise you because of what I do on Sunday mornings. I like music. I'm happy to serve the church and leading with whatever gifts and experience God's given me, but I would be just as happy somebody else up there leading and playing. So, but I'm happy to be able to share a little bit with you what I do know and things that I've studied and I've just gleaned from other people, other books and resources. So I said all that to say this, if you're really interested in this topic of making music as an offering of worship to God, I'm going to recommend some good books. So open up your outline in the first page. Look at the front page where it says Introduction and Resources. There's a list of books there. Highly, highly recommend Music Through the Eyes of Faith by Harold Best. And what I appreciate about this book, it's not just talking about music on a Sunday morning. It's talking about he really broadens your perspective on how we view music, period, and what's good music, what's not good music, how do we evaluate that from a Christian perspective, and can secular music glorify God? He deals with questions like that as well. So excellent book I'd recommend, Worship by the Book, another one that's on the list there, D.A. Carson. Another excellent work. So if you're really interested in this topic of music, and you know, some of you have had questions, is it wrong to play in a band that's not on a Sunday morning? Those books help answer those kinds of questions. So, and we might touch on it. We will touch on it some throughout the class. So some of the best resources I'm aware of is what you've got on your list right there. And it leads me to the question that I like to always ask at the beginning of these classes when I'm teaching one of these School of the Word classes. I like to ask, and what you guys, why are you taking this class? What do you hope to get out of it? So I want to hear from you all. Just why are you taking it? What do you hope to gain? Good. Yeah, excellent. What else? Anybody else? Tim. Yes, you do. Yeah. Excellent. Good. Who else? Free guitar lessons for your kid? What? Yeah. And that's fine too. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a cappella. Tell Sean I'm gonna have a talk with him. Anybody else? What you hope to gain? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. I think we're going to have fun. I think this will be a good class to do together. So I want to pray before we jump in to the material. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for these people. And Lord, thank you for the gift of music. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your way in these classes as we talk about the theological foundations and how we're to think as Christians, how we're to think about music, whether in the church or outside the church. And Lord, pray that you bless this time, bless all of the classes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this class was originally entitled Encountering God Through Worship, and I struggled over that title. Any idea why I might struggle over that? Encountering God Through Worship. This is going to be an interactive class, by the way. I want you guys to participate in feedback, give me talk. So, any ideas why? Yeah, that's part of it. Worship can happen all the time, not just music. But I think when you think of the encountering God through music, I struggled partially because of what you're saying, because it's much broader. Encountering worship is much broader, actually, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But if we're not careful, then we can paint this picture or make it sound like music is a means or a tool that's used to bring us into God's presence. And that's just not accurate biblically. The only way that you and I can encounter God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we don't technically encounter God through music. We encounter God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so it's not accurate. So then I thought, well, how about encountering God in music? And I didn't like that title because that's a bit pantheistic, meaning, it sounds like God's in the music somehow. And as we make music, then somehow we find God in the music. So I didn't like that title. I didn't settle on this. This is what I wanted to call it, making music as an offering of worship to God, because I think that's a more accurate description of what this class is about. But that title's too long and it doesn't fit with encountering God theme. So I picked encountering God with music. And so that's what we're talking about. Course outline. Tonight we're going to be talking about first things first. What is worship? You'll find out in a minute why that's important that we talk about that first. Classes 2 through 5 they may not be in that order. I'm trying to get somebody else to come in and teach a class who is a true musician, I think. And so I'm not sure what his schedule is going to be like. But you can look there. Number 2, making music as worship, singing as worship, playing instruments as worship, the Psalms and private worship. So those are some topics that we're going to be covering in the theological foundation part. I'll start off by saying this. Often we get calls from people from our church, or not from our church, but asking questions about our church. And a very common question that we get on the phone, is this. Not so much now. It used to be when we first came to town. But when we first came to town, one of the big questions was, what's your worship like? Or what kind of worship do you have? I always wanted to be mean and say, well, it's not devil worship, but I didn't do that. And what do you think they mean by that when they say, well, what kind of worship do you have? Or what's your worship like? What do you think they're talking about? Style of music. Yeah. And before we can talk about music in the context of worship, we have to understand and distinguish music from worship and understand what we mean by worship. So what do you think of when you hear the word worship? What do you think of? Good. Yep. What else? When you hear Sunday morning worship, what comes to mind? Praising God. Yep. It's hard to get away from. It's a dilemma because we talk about the worship team, We talk about worship music. We're going to worship God now. And often it gets equated with the music part of the service, with the singing or playing the instruments. And so I hope to expand your view, and I know that you know worship is more than that. So is it worship when we come in and sing songs? Maybe. Maybe. Is it worship when the band plays? I hope so, but not necessarily. Are you worshiping when you're lifting your hands with your eyes closed and you feel a certain way? Perhaps. Maybe. Does worship happen when we gather? There's no place in Scripture that you find a gathering of believers called a worship service. It's interesting. See, it's possible to come in here on a Sunday morning and go through all the motions out of habit and not worship God at all. Very possible. It's possible for me to lead worship on a Sunday morning not having worshiped God. Is that surprising? I'm going to talk about why. What's most important is not what we think worship is, but what God says it is. And so today we're going to, or tonight we're going to specifically look at this word worship and then a few passages to help us understand what the Bible means when we see worship being talked about in Scripture. And then once that foundation is laid, we're going to be in a much better place of understanding music in the context of worship in the later classes. So I've already mentioned this. It's interesting that the word most commonly translated as worship in Scripture has nothing to do with singing. Oops, I'm sorry. I have this on so I can keep track of what time it is, but I don't want it to make noises. Yet that's what the majority of at least Americans or our culture associate with worship is singing. Bob Coughlin, in his book Worship Matters, says that the word used most often in Scripture in its basic meaning is to bow or to prostrate oneself and is a sign of reverence, respect, and honor. It can be thought of as a nonverbal gesture of a subject before a superior. You can flip. Yeah, we're into the second page there on your notes now. So when used with the word abad in Scripture, it means to worship and serve, giving that idea of worship means working to fulfill the interest and the agenda of another or a superior. The word worship is an old English word, comes from the phrase worth-ship. Worth-ship, which means a worthy being. And speaking of the nature of worship, there's a quote in your outline there. Harold Best says the following. In the most basic terms, worship consists, this is what Tim said earlier, of someone acknowledging that someone or something else is greater, worth more, and by consequence to be obeyed, feared, and adored. Number two, it's important to realize that we are all worshipers. We're going through this kind of fast, but if you want to stop me to clarify something, ask a question, raise a point, please feel free to do so. So we're all worshipers. I've got some quotes there for you. Paul Tripp writes, "You cannot divide human beings into those who worship and those who don't. Everybody worships. It's just a matter of what or whom we serve." D.A. Carson, "At the heart of the fall is the self-love that destroys our God-centeredness. Implicitly, of course, all failure to worship God is neither more nor less than idolatry. Because we are finite, we will inevitably worship something or someone." You guys realize that? Every moment of your life, you're worshiping. That's the way God's created us. We are worshipful beings. The question is, who or what are we worshiping? Are we worshiping God? Are we worshiping ourselves? Are we worshiping other people? Are we worshiping material things? We worship what we value most. And if we're honest, sometimes it's other people. Sometimes it's things. Sometimes it's self. Sometimes it's God. But we are always worshiping. And I'm so grateful for a Savior who forgives my sin and the idolatry of my life in those days and those moments and those times when I'm caught up in worshiping myself or concerned about my reputation or whatever it may be. With that in mind, thinking about this, that we're always worshiping something, there's a danger even on Sunday mornings when we gather. You see, music can be God-centered worship, but music can also be worshiped. I'm going to think about that for a minute. Music can be God-centered worship, but music can also be worshiped. I don't remember. I think somebody recently said something, on the worship, about the worship team, not tonight, but another time, that it worship, it's not just about it sounding a certain way or, you know, Paul Moore, when he was talking about the offering, and he sometimes can be more concerned about how the band sounds than he is really worshiping God. Music, rather than making music as an expression or offering of worship to God, we can begin to look to music for things that only God can ultimately give us. Can you think of some examples? What are some ways that people might look to music for something that really only God is meant to give them? Yep. I have to have music to feel closer to God. What else? Other ways that we can worship music. And I'm not talking about just in the context of church. I'm talking about in general. Because music is powerful. Makes us feel good. And so I have to have my music to be happy. I've heard people, you know, say that I've got to have my music to be happy. Yeah, for direction. Yeah, and so they listen to some psychedelic weird stuff, and they get their answer. Good. What else? Other thoughts? How about comfort? Escape. You know, when you're sad and lowly, you like to listen to country songs, and they just make you more sad and lowly. I like country, so I'm not bashing country. No, I don't like being sad and lowly. But you understand, you see the point I'm making, that if we're not careful, music is a powerful medium, and we can begin to look to music as a god, as an idol, to fulfill certain longings in our own hearts that only God is ultimately able to fill. Any other thoughts on that before we move into number three, God's instruction on worship? Okay, we're gonna look at probably one passage, the first one tonight, and then save the rest for next time, because I don't think we'll have time. And I don't want to rush through this portion when we're dealing with God's Word and what God teaches us about worship from His Word. So Romans 12, 1 through 2, somebody want to read that out loud, really loud? Good. Now, you've got that verse there before you. I want to dialogue for just a few minutes on what are some things that we learn from this passage about what it means to worship God. So I'm opening the floor up. Look back at your passage there. What are some things that we learn from this passage about worship, what God means when He talks about worship? Sacrifice. Yeah, good. Notice he said living sacrifice as well. That it's, I think the implication, as long as you're alive, you're to be sacrificing, living in a sacrificial. Well, what does that mean? Let's flesh that out a little bit. If he's calling us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, he's not calling me to crawl up here on this desk and somebody take a knife and sacrifice me, you know, to God to appease His wrath. That's not what he's talking about. So what does it mean that he's calling us to present our bodies as living sacrifices? Yep. Good. Yep. In fact, he starts off the verse, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. God's initiated and acted upon us first in order for us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. And then Tim is saying is exactly right, that we're only acceptable to God through Christ, because he was perfect and he died. He was the ultimate sacrifice. But we're still called to present ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices. And so what does that mean for you and I on a day-to-day basis? Good. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ongoing. Remember, when you think about the word, we said worship is acknowledging someone is worth more, so he's worthy of being feared, obeyed, adored. And so every decision we make as a Christian ought to be in the context of what's God think? What's God say? What's God call us to do in this situation? That's being a living. And there's times where it's not going to feel good to follow what God thinks, God says, God desires, because of the flesh. We still battle with, and you know, that's when you feel that sacrifice, when there's something God's calling you to do. Maybe he's calling you to go share the gospel with somebody. I just don't want to share the gospel with that person. I'm afraid to share the gospel with that person. But God, you're calling me to do it, and I want to trust you to do it. Everything in your flesh says, no, screaming out, don't do that. And so there's a war going on. In those moments when we're choosing to honor God and obey God, I think we're offering ourselves as living sacrifices, presenting ourselves, saying, Lord, here am I. Use me however you please. What else? What else do we learn about worship from this passage? I love what Tim said there. It's holy and acceptable. We're only made holy and acceptable in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is your spiritual worship. Yep, Galatians 5. So it could be that sense when Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it certainly could be that sense there. Yep. It's interesting, too, what he says. You know, when he goes on, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, for a Christian, we're to value things that God values, not what the world values. And I'm not saying we're to be anti-world, anti-people, anti-social. Let's have nothing to do with the world, because he also says, you know, you're to be in the world, but not of the world. And so he's given us many good gifts on this earth to enjoy as worship to God. But it's talking about a mindset. It's talking about a philosophy, the world's way of thinking of what's important to the world. We're to value things that God values. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's pretty comprehensive. Whatever you do. Do all to the glory of God. You know, a question that I've asked my kids sometimes and I find myself thinking about as well, when I'm about to do something or say something, I'll just stop and say, now how exactly does this glorify God in my own heart? Or I'll ask my kids if they've done something, how exactly does that glorify God? Trying to help them transact with him and get me out of the way, so that they understand their problems, not with what they just did with their, siblings. I mean, that is a problem, but the bigger problem is honoring the Lord. Colossians 3:22-24. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Listen to this. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, even in work. I used to have this wrong mentality. What time is it? Okay, we got about 1 minute. I used to have this wrong sacred secular mentality that I owned a body shop business. That was secular. I was part-time on staff as a worship leader in another church. That was sacred. And my goal was raise that business up to where I could hire a manager so they could do all that worldly secular stuff, and I'd go full-time into ministry. Stinking thinking. Wrong thinking. This passage here says, I can glorify God and worship God as much in my job and the way I do my work as I can when I'm leading worship on Sunday morning or preaching a message. It's much bigger than just what happens in a church on Sunday morning. In other words, worshiping God encompasses every aspect of our lives, not just when you're singing, when you're playing. And you guys know that, but it's important for us to review that and to be so that we keep music in its proper place as we talk about music later. Any thoughts or questions about, we're going to finish the rest of this outline the next time. There's a couple other passages of scripture I want to look at that are important, but thoughts or questions about where we've begun, what we've begun with tonight. All right. Not sure how we're going to do this. Let's go ahead and stay in. Well, all the guitars are next door, so let's go next door. And we may have to arrange the chairs so you've got some space and everybody can see Gary Mellis, because he's going to be the instructor. And so let's go ahead and go next door, and we'll go from there.